Hey, welcome back to the third week of God's Perfect Timing Journal, Devotional Journal. I'm really glad that you are here. We are heading into the third week of Advent. And, you know, week four of this devotional journal, and I hope that you are excited to get started with us, as I am as well. You know, I designed this journal to take us from Thanksgiving through the New Year. And inside of those weeks, the Thanksgiving to New Year's weeks, are 4 weeks of Advent. And that's where we find ourselves today as we begin. So if you're watching this right now on that Sunday, then I welcome you to this third week of Advent. No, fourth week of Advent. No. I invite you to the third week of Advent and the fourth week of this devotional journal. And this week in our Advent journey, we're going to be focusing on joy. Yeah, joy. So, you know, there's about 50 days between Thanksgiving and the New Year's. And the way that I've organized this devotional journal is really growing out of a sense of how full these days are. They're busy days, good busy, you know, but they're often filled with things that can distract us from the good busy, right? There's wonderful gatherings, obviously, with friends and family and church and all those wonderful things, but then there's just a lot. And I wanted this devotional journey and journal to be exactly that, a journey and a journal and a time for you to spend in God's word as well. You know, sometimes in these kinds of busy seasons, we don't even get a chance to sit down and enjoy our Christmas decorations or wear our Christmas jammies and just breathe it all in and have a cup of coffee and tea and relax. And I hope that you get a chance to do all of those types of things. But what I really want for you to do is have a rhythm of being in God's word together with me, together with a friend, or just you and the Holy Spirit coming together into God's word, a rhythm that gives you the space to just pause and to remember God and everything that we're celebrating during these seasons and during these gatherings, and not to let any of that get lost in the busyness, the good busyness, yes, but sometimes the crazy busyness, you know what I mean, that can kind of distract us from the most important thing. So that's the hope of this journal, not just to read a short devotional thought or to write a little snippet as you look, but to really actually bring all of these things together, to have devotional journaling time that's rooted in God's word, with the focus being on God's word and not on my words or on anybody else's words. You know, all of my heart in throughout any of this aspect of my ministry is that you would let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I hope that's what you're doing, and I hope that this devotional journal is allowing you a chance to do that. It's really the heart of the Dwelling Richly ministry. I have read so many devotionals written by people that are wonderful. I've gotten great thoughtful insights from them and all those as well. They give us a spark in the morning or help us to go back to bed at night with a thought in our mind that's really focused on God's word. But over time, I've noticed that these devotionals can actually keep us out of God's word because we're focusing on the words that somebody else wrote. And my desire is to really have us have a chance to be in God's actual word, that you would be doing the thinking and the wondering and the lingering and even coming up with your own insights as you go through God's word, because you are in his holy, awesome, alive, living word. So this devotional really grew out of that desire, not to have my words or anybody else's to be focused on, but to really be in God's word. And so I hope that you will take the time to move into that and let these 50 days bring you into God's word and let you have a time just to really deeply breathe and pause and focus and let God's word do what it does. It's alive. My words aren't. The words of great authors aren't, but God's words are. And so each of the passages that you're going to be reflecting on, whether you're just now joining us for the very first time or you have been along with us the whole way through, the whole point is that you would be in God's word and have a little moment each day to have your own time to think and to pray. And my hope that your time in the word keeps you drawing back and helps you to realize, wow, God's word is way more amazing than I ever had imagined as well. So the passages that we're going to dive into this week, this coming week of Advent, is the third week of Advent, and the focus here is on joy, all right? So the idea of God's nearness, being able to recognize that easier, and to to see him and experience him, not only in his word, but in this season as well. You know, joy shows up in scripture in ways that don't always grab your attention right away. And I think that is important to say right at the start, because when we hear the word joy, especially during Advent, we tend to picture something big and bright and joyful, right? Loud and very obvious. But when you slow down and you really sit with the biblical story, joy often just grows out of these quieter places. It settles in and it kind of develops over time. And it usually shows up right in the middle of ordinary life. And that's why I'm really looking forward to the passages that we're going to be into this week, focusing on joy. You may have been along this journey, like I said earlier, but whether or not you're just now starting or you've been along all the way, I pray that as you go through this devotional journey, that you will really find the joy as we get into the scriptures. So let's go ahead and dig into what God has to say, give you a preview of what is to head. And I'm hoping that God shows you through these readings the true root of joy and what that looks like in your life as you move forward. Not just something seasonal, but something that actually shapes the way that you think and that you live. So the first passage that you're going to dive into this week is going to come from Isaiah chapter 52, and opens with this image of good news traveling across the mountains. And just pause there for a moment, because that picture would have landed very differently for the original audience than it does for us. News does not travel quickly at all in those days. There were no headlines or alerts or ways of getting news out like it was today. If someone was running across the hills, it meant that something significant had actually happened. And that Hebrew word that Isaiah uses for good news is basar. And it's a word that's used for announcing victory or deliverance. This isn't just casual information. It's news that changes everything. And when Isaiah talks about peace and salvation, and he talks about comfort, he's speaking to people who need peace, who need comfort, who need salvation, who have known loss because they are in exile. They are experiencing and living in the disappointment and the consequences of their sinful behavior, and God enacted judgment on them by sending them into this exile. So people have been waiting for a really long time. And so when the watchmen lift their voices, it's not because life is suddenly perfect. It's because God has acted, and that changes how they see everything else. You know, there's something really steadying about that kind of joy. Joy in that context isn't excitement. It's relief, right? It's reassurance. It's this deep settling knowledge that God has not forgotten his people. And that kind of joy often grows when there's space to remember what God has already done. Even if nothing else feels finished yet, we know that God is at work. Does that make sense? All right. So then the story moves on into Luke, and you'll enter into that passage also in this week, into this field, this famous field where the shepherds are watching their flocks at night. And it's so easy just to romanticize that scene. But the shepherds were not admired figures in this day at all. They worked long hours. They lived outdoors. They weren't considered reliable witnesses even. And yet they are the ones that God chose to speak to first. The angels announce good news of great joy. And the Greek word there for joy is chara, which is connected to grace. You might have heard of the word charis for grace, the Greek word for charis, for grace. Joy is in that same root family, and it's joy that flows from God's gracious action. It's not from circumstances improving, right? That's what's important to keep in mind here. That matters, because the shepherds go right back to their flocks after all of this takes place. Their lives don't suddenly become easier, but something has changed. They have encountered the presence of God. And then there's this beautiful contrast. The shepherds move quickly. They tell everyone, you know, go tell it on the mountain. They tell everyone what they've heard. And Mary, what does she do? She holds these things close. And Luke tells us that she treasured them. The Greek word there has a sense of guarding or keeping something safe. She's turning it over in her heart and staying with it, letting it settle. Joy doesn't look the same in every life. Sometimes it moves outward into praise, like the shepherds running around telling everybody, and storytelling, and which is what the shepherds did, of course, as well. And other times it stays quiet and it's reflective. Scripture makes room for both responses to true joy. And I think that's comforting, you know, because it tells us there isn't one correct way to respond to what God is doing. And so as you move forward in this devotional, our next passage up is John 15, where it brings into Jesus' own words and where things really deepen even more. Jesus talks about remaining in his love. And the word he uses, meno, means to stay or to dwell, to let it make a home. This isn't just some passing connection. It's ongoing. It's this lived-in relationship. And when he talks about joy here, he's not describing a feeling that just flits and flies around with circumstances, of course. He's actually describing what grows when someone stays connected to him over time. That's really important. Joy here isn't something that you try to work up and manufacture. It develops naturally when Christ's words take root, live in, dwell in your heart, when his love becomes so familiar, right? It's like me sitting here having this cozy time wearing my Christmas pajamas. It's that kind of hominess when his presence becomes steady. And then our next passage is in Philippians, and it brings us right into Paul's voice. And he tells believers to rejoice. Why? Because the Lord is near. And that word near carries spatial and relational meaning. Christ is close. He's attentive. He's present. And Paul is writing from prison. So this isn't theoretical joy. Here it is rooted in confidence that God has not just stepped away. All of these passages together, they guide us toward a deeper understanding of joy. And it's important to remember that joy is not a personality trait. It's not some emotional optimism, but it's something that really grows when God's presence is noticed and remembered and welcomed. And joy takes shape when Scripture is allowed to dwell deeply in us. And we don't just skim through it and we don't just rush through it. That's really the heart behind this devotional journal, creating space for us to linger and to think and to notice what God is doing next and in our own heart. And I pray that these readings invite that kind of engagement. They give room for God to do his quiet work, his faithful work. You know, joy arrives because God has come near, and that nearness continues to matter long after the season moves on. So I pray that you will take your time with these readings and you'll let the word gently shape your understanding of joy and help you notice God's nearness in the passages as they continue to unfold the story of God's faithfulness. And the next portion of the journal will bring us even closer to the heart of Christmas. So enjoy these times of dwelling in the word, and know, as always, that you are loved and prayed for. And I look forward to being back here again with you real soon. Bye-bye for now.